The Corey and Joel Radio Show, live on Sirius, on XM. No, how do you get this thing anyway?
All right, here we are live. Whoa, welcome in, everybody. Corey and Joel Radio with you.
Hey, hey, hey.
Corey and Joel Radio Show, we're live from the Comedy Castle in beautiful Royal Michigan.
Yet another fantastic, fabulous, outstanding live show.
This is a live, sort of a live feed. We're on tape, we recorded this.
Semi-live.
But it's Friday night here at the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak. This is the place you've heard us talk about many, 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 many times on the air.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we've come here with a kind of an odd goal, I think, or sort of an interesting sort of goal for ourselves tonight, or reason why we're here.
Yeah, yeah.
Something that a lot of our fans wouldn't think would be a reason we would be here. And
yeah, there's a backstory here to this one. How do we break it to you?
Well, if you've listened to the show for a long time, you'll know.
Yeah.
But this is the weekend that one of Michigan's better-known comedians is back here in town.
I guess you could say that, yeah.
A hometown stand here at the Comedy Castle. Mm-hmm. And Corey and I, being on top of the comedy scene as we are,
yeah.
or the bottom of it, or the top of it, we're on top of
it. We're on the top of the bottom rung.
We're on the bottom of the shoe. Of the guy who's on the top of the rung.
Like Sicily. We're at the bottom of the boot.
We're the the toe.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, we're the heel.
Oh, well, we are heel.
We are heel.
I'm the heel. Yeah.
Well, no.
You're going to act like Susie Sunshine over there, like you've never said a bad word about anybody.
All right. Well, here's the backstory, and we're going to play this for you right now. We got a clip. This goes back to show 71, but this was not the first mention of our featured guest tonight. Well,
quite frankly, we couldn't find the original mention
in
the archive.
We really did listen, and maybe Niels or somebody could email us and tell us. But we originally talked about this guy, and not in the most glowing of terms. the question is this a show where we're going to eat crow, or are we going to continue on our bombastic way?
Crow tastes like booty, so I'm not eating any crow.
But anyway, we talked about him, and let's play the intro. I think we'll all know.
Okay, here we go.
Is us talking about John Heffron, our featured guest tonight.
From
on the
show 71.
It's a clip from show 71. Some of you might remember this. If you don't, this will refresh your memory. I think we've told the story a billion times, but it's certainly appropriate
Great
here.
Story.
Go ahead.
Why
should I tell it? Because maybe I heard it more firsthand. Somebody we know, quote unquote.
Oh, we both heard it from the same guy.
Yeah, but he came up to us and he goes, "Yeah, you know who's a big fan of the Corey and Joel Radio Show?" We're like, "Who?" And you're like, "John Heffron." Yeah, he said, "Fuck Corey and Joel" to me. I saw him recently in L.A., and he goes, "Fuck Corey and Joel."
Yeah, they were sitting eating a sandwich, and he said, were just...
out of the blue, he goes, "Fuck Corey
and Joel."
There
was a lull in the conversation, and Heffron just stood up and went, "Fuck Corey and Joel." And you know what? You're right.
All right.
And you know what?
Come on, John.
I'm going to continue heckling you. I don't care how many millions of dollars you put in the bank from your bad act.
Well, I think if I remember what I said was that he was in town, he did a guest spot at the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak, and I was either working there that weekend or just hanging out watching the show, and I watched his quote-unquote new act, because what happened was he was on Last Comic Standing 2, and then he had to go do 3, and he burned up all of his set. He couldn't repeat his jokes.
Yeah.
So he had whatever his set was, probably an hour or something, and he burned it all. He had done it all on television.
Right.
Like everything that you could do on TV. And so he came up with his new act, so he debuted that in a 5 or 7 minute spot. And it was dreadful. It was just all let me tell you how men and women are when you get married to a woman, she, then she starts to fart. It was literally jokes like that. It was just hack shit.
Boys have a pee-pee, women have a hoo-hoo.
Yeah, it was a lot of that. I mean, it was literally a lot of just marriage jokes, and men and women are different. And it's fine, and people were laughing, but I came on the show and went God, it was so lame. I think I said something like that. Mm-hmm. I had actually seen it.
Wow.
Did you hear that?
I think God's mad at us for making fun of Heffron. There's thunder cracking outside.
So I went on the show, and he must have heard that one, because then he told our buddy how fuck Corey and Joel and all that stuff.
Well, we went off on him. I'm just... John Heffron's act is just hacky. I can't help it.
All right, so that's what we said in the past.
That was May of 2006.
That was just a couple months ago. But there were other mentions that brought on the fuck Corey and Joel thing that he said about it.
We had a long history of dishing a man who's made hundreds of thousands of dollars in comedy.
And there is a backstory, because last week I was actually performing here on the weekend.
Yeah.
Doing my show with a couple other great comics, Jim McHugh from Boston, and another guy. And we went on.
Nice glass.
My friend Kevin Zioli.
Nice,
my buddy Kevin
gloss
Zioli.
Job.
So anyway, so John showed up to do guest spots. And initially, I think there was a little heat where he wasn't happy I was there.
Yeah.
Some things were said behind people's backs. And eventually I said, I'm going to be the bigger man. I'm going to be nice to this guy. And see how he reacts. Yeah. And you know what? He was sort of kind in return.
Sure.
And had a few beers the one night and said, hey, why don't you come do the show?
Yeah.
And he said, well, I don't have time this week. He was very busy. That if we came out and set up here at the club, he would come on and do the show. So that's where we're at now.
I want to tell you what's different about this show, folks. What's different from most radio programs you hear on terrestrial, satellite, or the internet. We actually will have national entertainers on, national acts, just to tell them they suck. And we don't back down from telling them they suck. And
well,
just
I don't
a little
know.
While, John's going to come on and probably poo all over us. And,
there's actually a chance he may not come on. Now, how great would that be?
If we show up and John, yeah, that'll be delightful.
I mean, we're here. We brought out all of our equipment. Oh, yeah. We set up. We spent an hour setting this junk up in the lobby.
I got to sit out here and listen to the blender.
Yeah, we're hearing the blender. The bar is just across the way here at the Comedy Castle.
It is hopping here tonight.
We're in the
lobby.
I think it's a sold-out show, and it should be. The guy's a big star from Last Comic Standing.
Yeah, the 8 o'clock show is smoke-free. I like that.
Oh, is it? It's smoke-free on Friday. Okay, well, that's good. But, yeah, there's the blender right there. Did you hear that?
Yeah. We've done stuff here before that you guys never heard.
Yeah, we did a pilot here once, and we should talk about that with Mark if we get to Mr. Riddy himself on.
Yeah,
we did a pilot. A guy wanted to hire us for, he was launching sort of a website to sell stand-up comedy. And Corey and I were going to host a show.
He wanted to hire us until he realized hiring meant the transfer of money from him to us.
Yeah, it was going to be him. Yeah. It was going to be, this concept was Corey and I would be interviewing comedians at the club. After they've left the stage,
sure.
Or sort of a backstage vibe. Kind of what we're doing right now, actually. Mm-hmm. It was sort of the
we
template.
We worked for months on that thing.
We did.
And we got a lunch out of it, I think.
We got a free lunch out of it from Jimmy. And
yeah, I got like a salad. Like a chicken Caesar salad.
I got some chicken fingers out of the deal. I was happy.
Yeah.
I was certainly.
That's all Joel needs, really. Some chicken fingers and a smile.
Yeah, and then no money. You can hire us for chicken fingers.
Do you
guys listening?
I believe the term hire means you... Take us to do a job, and then money has to come from you to us. And that was the problem in that situation.
And it never happened. No money ever transferred hands. We did a pilot that we thought was actually very funny.
Sure.
And I think everyone that heard it, except for the guy that was going to be writing the checks, thought it was funny. But
we've never really got into that story on the show.
No, we sort of, that was one story we really haven't told. I think there's more to it than even we're saying now, but... Maybe we'll get into it as the night goes on.
Drama.
Or whatever.
Too much drama in the
LBC. Drama,
too
but
much
here
blender
we are. We're
in
blowing,
this goddamn comedy.
We're blowing up. We've got our banner behind us from our live show 61.
Sure.
That was the people at Juxtapose Signs that made that for us.
Feedback coming in from last week's show, by the way. Ran into Chill.
The Mike Lundy show. Did he not like it?
Long-time show fan. No. Apparently, Chill has never heard of Hee Haw either.
You're saying a young black male in his 20s has never heard Hee Haw?
I hope that when the African-American audience that I know that we down with the struggle, Joel. You know that.
Oh, we're trying to be. We got all we've been playing.
Please believe.
You got some Riding Dirty in there or something? You got any of that in there?
Is that how you want it to keep coming back?
If we keep pumping Chamillionaire, as I was corrected last week.
Yeah, Joel couldn't pronounce Chamillionaire, and that
look, it's Chamil. I'm like, that's Chamillionaire.
Joel, you don't understand Ebonics.
There we go.
Let me reach out to the black community.
But see, I thought this was Chamillionaire. I said this couldn't be anything else.
Brothers and sisters, Joel and I are down with the struggle. We too is broke as a joke. We too like to invent our own grammar.
I was right.
I've got bad credit. I like grape soda. I'm down with the brothers. I'm down with the struggle.
All right. Yeah.
Chamillionaire.
All right. We've killed that bit now. Kill Chamillionaire for
me. Yeah, but Chill was like, what? Now what is this Hee Haw?
Chill didn't know Hee Haw either.
Yeah, and we introduced Mike Lundy to the world of Hee Haw. So that's what we do on the show. We open up doors.
Exactly.
We bring people. We put your peanut butter and your chocolate.
White people hear Chamillionaire.
Smush them together.
Black people find out about Hee Haw.
Sure.
It's a great mix. So anyway, we're getting started. Actually, the first show's about to start. I just saw him draw the curtain.
Yeah.
And our friend Jesse Pop is the opening act tonight. We'll hope to be talking to Jesse a little later on.
Yes, sir.
And what else do we got going on tonight? Maybe we'll get some hot chicks just to come in here, some drunks.
Yeah, we can talk to Jesse about how he lost on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh, he's got some good stories. Yeah, I can't wait to. Jesse was on Comedy Central once, and he's here opening the show
like I did last week.
So, we'll have Jesse coming up, and there's a lot of maybe we'll get some drunk broads. That'll be the late show. I hope you can be here. Corey has another engagement.
I do.
I'd hate to think that this is the show that I got to fly solo.
The live one?
The live one. Well, the on-location remote.
I think it's going to be a quickie for me. But
well,
sorry, no boob sign-ins probably tonight. But, you know, John kind of brings a family crowd, doesn't he?
It's a lot of married couples, it seems, that
it's
have been
walking. It's a little bit of an
in,
older crowd.
Which I'm sure you're going to dump on that, too.
No, I'm not going to dump on it.
Because
just,
when Corey and Joel headline, we only have hot young college girls with
I'm not
new bodily round
I'm just
breasts.
Stating the facts.
No, I agree with you, but it's also, you know, it's Friday night. It's an expensive show too.
Yes,
I think I think they're getting $20 out of people to come in here.
Really?
So
you know what, young people, don't
it's top
have
dollar.
That.
It's top dollar.
All right,
because he's a big star.
Yeah,
you got to pay the top dollar.
You win a monkey show on television. You beat a trained chimp on a television program.
Hey, you didn't have to beat a guy with CP. That I'd respect.
You know what?
If you can beat a guy with CP in a national comedy,
you know, they really
contest.
They really haven't had comedians per se on that Who Wants to or the America's Got Talent.
Oh, America's Got Talent.
And that's a good thing because can you imagine competing against the dog and pony shows they got on?
Right.
There? Literal dog and pony shows.
Oh, absolutely.
Dogs and ponies fucking. They have on that program and Hasselhoff sits there on his throne and says, wow, you know, I really think the monkey gave it to him well. And that pony took it. He took it hard and he took it fast.
So is that a better or worse show than Last Comic Standing?
It's worse than Last Comic Standing.
Is it really? Mm-hmm. It's worse to watch or it's like worse for the people on it?
Yeah, it's worse for everybody involved. Like, okay, I actually know my mom's friend's son's band was on there.
Oh, okay.
A very loose association, but I have seen the band before.
Sure.
And they're not a bad band. They're like a college-y kind of band. They're named PBM. But it's like, why, if you're a band, why go on a show with rapping grannies and guys jumping through flaming hoops and gymnasts? And there was a guy who played, he had 100 horns on his body and was playing the Star Spangled Banner. There's a guy who snaps.
Oh, yeah, Bobby Badfingers. I've seen him.
Bobby Badfingers.
That's pretty good. What you were doing was kind of good.
Hey.
You'd be a big star.
Yeah. So there's a guy with a big mustache who snaps, and you got to sit. It's like a monkey show. Comics should never do that stuff.
Well, here's the thing, though. At least if you win Last Comic Standing, you could come to this club and sell it out for the weekend.
Right.
If you're a guy who snaps your fingers, where do you really go?
You play Branson.
Where do you play 100 horns strapped to your body?
Atlantic City. Joel's checking out the girls.
Well, I'm checking out the girls walking in. That girl was all right.
That's fine.
That was nice. You hit that.
Young and tan and tall and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking. There you go.
There you go.
That blender is going to make the death of me.
It's two guys and a blender. That's the name of show number,
I think,
whatever.
Imelda Marcos just walked in, Joel. That's a very old lady. God, he does bring in an old crowd. We'll have to talk about that.
Any black people walk through the door yet? I haven't seen any.
Oh,
wait,
that's staff.
Yeah.
There's a waitress. I'm sorry.
But have you seen actual audience members, people paying their money to see that?
No.
Or African
maybe a couple? I don't know.
I haven't seen any, but we'll see.
I introduced the term Afro-American, and I apologize for that because we've never used that on this term.
Afro-American? I don't know. Yeah. You can say whatever you want.
I believe
there's people actually listening to us face-to-face tonight.
I believe
that's
the term is colored.
Okay.
And,
stop it. All right. Okay. We're going to get... anyway.
Oh, there we go. You just speak of the devil?
That's Puerto Rican or something.
Is that biracial?
Is that how
that counts?
I don't know. But anyway. It's an upscale crowd. Maybe
we don't have monitors on, so people...
We don't have monitors. People really can't hear us, but I think we're talking pretty loud.
Yeah.
Because we're talking over... There's a TV with the Tigers
I'm
game
talking
on,
over blenders, Tigers.
And blenders.
People
you can hear the guy
in.
Pouring ice into the glasses.
You can pick up the girl pouring chips over there. She's got a bag full of chips.
Well, I'll tell you Wonderful. What we're going to do. We're gonna
Live ambiance, folks.
We're going to get a guest out here. First off, let's take a little break, Pi.
Okay.
We'll let you have Rob. We'll give you an announcement or two. Maybe we'll play a little music, whatever it is. And we'll come back with more show and hopefully John Efron very soon.
Sign up for the show's mailing list at CoreyandJoelRadio.com. Get great bonus features like your podcast sucks, jerk-off home companion, and shitty features like drive-thru theater. Don't miss a thing. Sign up now.
Okay, so we're back here at the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak. Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, I should say that.
That's my Comedy Castle.
And then he's the man himself.
Yeah, you never have to refer to it as Mark Ridley's
Excuse
Comedy
me,
Castle.
Let me survey all that I own.
This is your joint.
This is my joint, yeah.
It's the man himself. It's Mark Ridley. I'm going to give Mark a round of applause right here. There he is. The man himself. He built this.
I haven't had that much clap since early 70s. But you know, I want to tell you. Hi, guys.
Yeah, it's good to be here, Mark.
Thanks for having us here.
Our introductory segment, we talked about our pilot that we that never took off, that we did right here.
Right.
And, that was kind of sad.
We've had more crash pilots than Pan Am in the 70s.
So. Now you're just like Northwest pilots, drunk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're actually drinking water, you know?
We're like the George Clooney of radio. We just do pilots and they go nowhere. And
we're on a lot of shows, and then we'll finally hit it.
And then we'll hit eventually.
And there's the man right there. There's John. How's it going?
I was hoping. Oh, I thought that was a box of donuts. John eats donuts before the show.
You just heard there was a nacho emergency here. They're running low on nachos. Somebody bring some donuts. It'll be all right.
John, do you feel like talking before you go on?
Do you feel like talking before?
Otherwise, it's going to be really freaking nuts out here right after the show.
If you wait till after the show to come on.
Let the man prepare.
I'll let him here, John. Why don't you jump? You don't have to go anywhere.
He got another mic for John.
I got 5 minutes before I have to go and do my thing.
You do your down.
He's got to get psyched up. Let him.
Is there anybody actually in there?
Yeah, there's a couple people.
A couple people, John?
Yeah, yeah. It's a non-smoking show. You know how they like to drink.
Oh, really? We're at the non-smoking show? That's okay. Yeah. One day they're all going to be non-smoking shows.
Please. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either.
There won't be any lungs left.
You'll have to have
John. He just walked in the door. Give John.
John literally just walked in the door. He's putting his shirt on. We'll give John
my shirt on. I'm going.
He's the only comic I know that dresses as he comes in. And tonight he's wearing. He's wearing black shoes.
Yeah. There was an issue last night with brown shoes and a black shirt.
Well, because I'm the most neurotic comic you could ever, like, you could throw me just by going, and people have by going, is that what you're going to wear on stage? And I'll be a nervous wreck for the entire show.
Okay.
So.
But did it work out? It didn't throw you, though, the brown shoes?
No, I was, that's
like
all.
I handled it.
That's, well, first thing
he
on stage, I said, I have shoes on. Yeah, and it's the only way I can do it. I have to address the problem. You know, at hand, or it's all I'll think about.
How long does it take you to dress for television? Like you do Star Search? I mean, like how many times do you change clothes?
For, like, if I do a TV show?
Yeah.
Not a lot. No. I got, like, my go-to TV outfits, almost like Batman. They're kind of in a case.
Right.
It's in his Garanimals closet.
Yeah, it's
like that Seinfeld episode where the girl had the one dress that she would wear over and over.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I have, like, when I do TV, I wear suits, so it's a little bit easier. I got a couple suits, and you just throw on the shirt, and that's it.
That's the way to do it. That's See, Corey and I do our show, and this is what we can wear.
Yeah.
Well,
this is actually what we can
wear. That's because we have faces for radio.
Yeah.
Exactly what we have.
Right.
How does it feel? You're setting the table for Newberg, who's going to come on next week. So,
yeah, Chris is coming on the show next week. I know he's a friend of yours.
Nice, nice. How do I feel about setting the table for him?
Yeah.
Good. It's a
forks
good,
on the left.
Good volley. Yeah, right. You know, Newberg, he, I think he usually likes to get the Comedy Castle painted a different color when he rolls in.
Well, he's like that.
He's one of those people. He's got, you know, things got to change.
He came on our show, Corey. He did, in the studio, he did what, a 20-minute segment with us? Didn't do the whole show.
Well, he was on the phone.
Cell phone rang maybe 50 times.
Okay. You know what? I got to tell you one thing about Chris. He called today when I was in Kalamazoo.
Right.
And he says, L.A. Radio, I can't believe that here I am at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning on Sirius. With 3 Playboy Playmates.
Oh.
Only in Los Angeles.
Really?
Yeah, it's nice.
We occasionally get drunk girls from Ferndale to stumble by our studio. So.
John's here with Mark, Corey, and Joel.
Yeah, you know, that shows
Sausage
you whatever.
Fest 06.
Here we go.
Let's
play some cards or something.
Do you have a rider in your contract? Do you need, like, no blue M&Ms backstage or something?
You know what? I do have a rider.
Yeah.
Nobody ever listens to it.
Okay.
But it is usually faxed over somewhere. No, I have a rider usually for like corporate events or colleges, for clubs.
Not for the Comedy Castle. Not for your home club.
But for clubs I do so they don't throw me in the comedy condo.
What is some crazy stuff you've heard of people having in their contracts?
Some people do the M&M's thing. Some people ask. I remember when I did radio in Detroit, we had the wrong brand of bottled water for... Natalie Merchant sang for in a group.
10,000 Maniacs.
Yeah, but okay, so but it was 10,000 Maniacs without Natalie Merchant.
Oh,
okay,
right.
So
and
yeah,
you didn't have the right water. For
and they didn't have. They drank whatever bottle of water. We didn't have the right, and they were refusing to go on at some like summer concert.
That's like Creedence Clearwater Revisited. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so
9,999 Maniacs.
We had Bobcat Goldthwait here, and he had in his rider Tab. All right.
Really?
When did they stop making Tab?
Yeah. Actually, you know, just relaunched it.
Like, you can get it in one store in
Georgia.
We
found an old liquor store with, like, dusty Tab in it.
Yeah.
got that for him.
I actually have, the only thing I have on my rider is no lunch meat fruit tray.
Okay.
Because I don't eat it, and it's a waste of food.
That's
so
good.
I say,
that's pretty standard.
I say,
stuff.
Don't make me any food. If yeah. anything, maybe some snacks and some Rockstar.
Or
that's
some
it.
Some seafood that's been left out yeah. in the sun all yeah. day long, you know?
Or something like that. Yeah.
Add
some
clams.
Good, some good oysters.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, sushi trays, not a good
sushi,
plan.
Yes.
Not a good plan.
No,
for
no,
that.
No.
Some
no.
baked sushi.
Let me get some eel that's been sitting out back here 6 hours, and let me go perform some rib-tickling comedy for people. Oh, man. So how much time you got before you got to go back and get in the zen mode?
I'm going to probably go back there. I have my Q10.
You're taking the, what are you,
Q?
Neo? You're what taking the red
yeah,
pill?
Yeah, it's the red pill. It's a funny pill. It's Q10 something.
Okay.
I think I go on in like 15 minutes.
Yeah,
it's
he goes on a little bit.
Supposed to help you with your brain and just give oxygen to your brain.
They're going
to
yeah, need it
probably
tonight,
if you would have taken it a couple of hours ago. By the time you swallow
but,
it,
yeah,
it'll kick in
be,
right at the end of your set.
It's actually a hit of ecstasy.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping, you
so
know.
So we have to have plenty of bottled water.
Yeah, yeah, it's going
to
be good.
You're
going
to need some energy because the early show, we watched some people moving in. And it
and
looked
they're just
like,
tired and non-smokers.
Look like Golden Girls neighbors in here. It
yeah,
was,
I pull, for some reason, I pull an older crowd. I don't. This, it was never well, intentional.
It's that one bit you do.
It's
about yeah. going out with older women.
I think so. They all come and try to hook
really?
Up.
Are they like the MILFs are into you? Is that how this rolls?
Yeah, I will say my audiences are some of the hotter audiences around.
Oh, okay.
They're very high class.
Uh-huh.
Very, a lot of women who got their husbands' Audis and Mercedes,
oh, okay.
and now they're out in the town.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Rue McClanahan's older sister was sitting right here, and she asked us while we were setting up if you were selling CDs, and you've got like a whole like
thing.
Tell
but,
me what you got
because
here.
I have a new CD out called the Better Half, but the yeah. planets didn't align properly, and I didn't get it in time. They're supposed to be on iTunes and all up on the net, and then have physical CDs, but it just didn't happen. So now I got to make these cards, hoping that people will remember in 3 weeks, which we know they won't, and then I'll sell nothing.
I don't think it's going to help her because I think she's still using wax cylinders to listen to.
Oh, stuff. I got yeah, yeah. Well, I have records. I'm selling records.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah. Do you perform over the telegraph?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
maybe she could hear that.
Yeah, I got.
She had a great Thomas Edison story.
Yeah, I have a. I have my whole act put together to organ music. Actually, it's just my whole act just on organ music.
Yeah,
it's good. They'll like it.
And I'll be the monkey boy.
Yeah, yeah. They'll like it. They'll like it.
Well, all right. Well, John, well, I think we'll let you
guys can be here for a while.
We're going to be here for a while. We do have to. We do have to go over some of our history. I think we have to go over that a little bit.
Oh, when are we going to do that?
We played a little preview. Should we do that now? Do we have a minute?
We played.
Or is it gonna? Is
I have five.
Sully?
I have 5 minutes.
Is it gonna right. sully it? Well, we need to get him some advice.
It's, it's gone so well so far, Joel. Let's throw it in the toilet.
Here, take my.
You know what? I'll let you three talk.
Take my, no, go ahead. You listen.
There's
you
the
moderate.
Man, Mark
no, you can you moderate.
You gotta break up the.
No, I've heard it. I've actually heard it just to save time.
Here's a brief clip from the Corey and Joel radio show.
No, I can.
Let me tell you how men and women are different.
Yeah, you listen. I got time. I shoot for why Mark listens.
You gonna play? You playing it now? The fart. It was literally jokes like that. It was just hack shit.
Boys have a women have a hoo-hoo.
Yeah, it was a lot of that.
All right.
I mean, it was literally a lot of just
Mark
marriage
is
jokes.
Stunned. He's never heard
different.
This before.
No, Mark's never heard that before. I don't know if anyone heard that over the drinks clanging. But anyway.
Well, the thing that I heard, I don't know if you're still playing it or
okay,
not.
Go ahead.
Here's
well,
what I here's what I heard. Right?
Tell us what you heard.
And in all honesty.
Let me get in the middle. Let me get in the middle.
Yeah,
all
right. No. In all honesty.
I'm like 3 feet away. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm out of arm reach.
I don't know if you guys know me as a person, but like nothing really rattles me. It's not that big a deal.
Right.
I think one of the things I heard in. And I have a small, like anybody, very insecure.
Nothing
I heard the
you,
fact
John.
That
you, John.
John Heffern was hot for, I think that your phrase was 6 months
yeah.
For a second, which
okay.
boggled my mind because in 6 months, I one last comic. I got one of the largest stand-up comic development deals with another network that anybody's gotten in 5 to 6 years. I've done the Tonight Show. So during that time where you said he was hot for 6 months, yeah. I accomplished more than I would say 99.8% of comics will ever accomplish in their entire lives during that time.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And signing up for, well, you guys know, you can't just sign up and then suddenly be on a sitcom.
Not at all.
Because just so you don't see me on the E Hot 100 left-handed girls things doesn't mean that right. I'm not doing it.
So would you say an apology is due here, John?
No.
What I did is
And here's the other thing. Yeah. You guys said, well, you didn't like John because of all, hey, I'm a little kid stuff. I do little kid material. Mark was at the show yesterday, and I did. Actually, I apologize for going over. I did an hour and something.
Oh, well.
I did one little kid joke even come out of my mouth.
No, okay. No, that's right.
During that time.
Well, that, part of that is that
see, that is what that's what started
married.
Me.
John got married to get a new act.
Right.
To get a new act.
Now when he gets divorced,
well, I think
another
part
new
of
act.
That is you were on TV so much that some of that stuff is kind of overexposed. You can't really do it anymore.
People know that because we did bring that up too. That.
But you know what happened though? It was with me when I started comedy when I was, 17, 18?
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot to go on. The only thing I can do is go back on childhood. But then when I got in my 20s, I talked about being single and trying to get laid. And then once I got married, then, you know, it's kind of, that's what I do. But people, for some reason, and you know what, though? The crowds have enjoyed it. When I talk about being a kid, that's what I think attaches my audience to me more than if you were up doing a bunch of one-liners and they left and went, that guy was funny. But you don't attach anything.
Sure,
to
you.
Well,
you're a relatable storyteller. Is what you are.
Well,
you know?
Well, that's what we're here to do. Because I told the story, and no one was here when we did it in the intro. That last week we were kind of thrown together. You were doing guest spots. I was working.
Yeah.
And I think it was, oh, there's this little bit of tension. I know you heard what we said, and I go, God, I go, I don't want any heat with anybody. You know, I'll be cool.
I say crap about people all the time.
And then we hung out, and I thought we got along real well. We went out on Friday night.
I was frankly amazed you heard the show at all.
Yeah, we were actually shocked that you heard it. That actually made us feel good that anyone
heard
it.
And then what happened is I got addicted to seeing how much crap you guys talked about me. And I had to go through logs and logs.
Did you really go through
and then
logs?
I heard my name again and went, they're talking about me again.
We were actually looking for like clips of when we bashed on you and we couldn't find enough. And
I'll tell you, one was with Jim McClain, the other one was with
Jim McClain? Jim McClain was drunk on that show. I just want to point
out. And he was defending me, but it also shows
Jim McClain brought his own beer into the studio. I just want to point that out.
But you guys ripping on me and you guys maybe not agreeing with why I do comedy only shows that I've became extremely successful.
No one is taking away your success.
And you know what? And with last comic, nobody ever heard of me, and then there were camps. People who don't like my style and people who love my style. And that's better than me working at some restaurant right now.
There are some winners on Last Comic who have not fared as well, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But I think it's the writing thing.
Well,
I
it's
think
change
I,
or die. It's adapt or die, because you're right. If like that fan, nobody's going to watch that for 45 minutes. And you've got to do something different.
Me and Mark were talking about this. We're in an era of comedy now where you can't get away with doing the same 45 minutes your entire life.
You can't.
In a year and a half, written an entire new hour.
Yeah.
And then probably with the new CD and other shows I do, I'll have to repeat that
And
again.
You'll find that as time goes by, that time between those hours will
get smaller and smaller, and you just have to crank it out. And then, you will hear me doing little kid stuff because I'm fresh out and have to go back to old school stuff.
You'll have to have affairs, get divorced, have kids.
Yeah, it's, you know what I mean?
Just for
have kids, it's just going to be a big thing. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, we're glad that you came on and did this because that shows that
I think it's funny. You guys made me want to have a webcast. I heard that and I was
you
like,
should have one because
Jimmy Pardo did a show after
we were the
us.
First comics
he came
did
on
it.
Our
Pardo
show.
Came on our show next week, did his first show.
Right.
And we talked to Jimmy. Jimmy's a friend of ours.
Inspiring everyone.
I think we are.
I was going to have my own little podcast, and then I see all the equipment that you guys have.
Is this too much?
And now I go, no, I don't think I can do it.
One trip to Guitar Center, you can handle
it. It's too much to carry around.
The ADD's like, oh,
yeah, it's too much to carry around.
Forget about it.
Well, John, we appreciate you coming
on. All right, sweet.
You're having a sweet weekend. I saw the sold-out shows here.
Yeah, well, I wrote that. I write that underneath all my shows.
Well, that's good.
It's in this rider.
Yeah, that's in my rider. Just put sold out. Yeah,
sold out. Yeah. Well, we will not perform.
Here's the thing. We do appreciate you coming on. We don't shirk from you know.
You can dump on us all you want. We'll take it. We dish it out, but we can take it.
We'll start, how about that? We'll start like WWE. We'll start a little thing.
Yeah.
And then people won't know what it's about, and it'll only draw attention to both
things.
I have one question, John. Are you going to wear that on stage tonight?
I got a article change.
John, go, right, go relax. Light a cigarette with a $100 bill. And,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. I got to go wipe my ass with a $1,000 one. Yeah, I'll be right back.
Go, there you go. Go sleep on your big pillow full of money, and we'll be doing our next budget show.
I'll put the headphone, the tape back on my headphones.
Yeah, those are nice. You steal those out of the reading lab at the Brighton Elementary School. Those are nice.
Yeah, these are great.
You hear the high pitch now?
Yeah,
now.
I do. How now? Better now.
All right, John. Well, thanks for coming on. Have a good show. Mark Ridley, of course. We got to plug some stuff. We want to plug real quick, Mark. Plug what's coming up.
Plug what's coming up. Let's see what is coming up.
J. Chris Newberg
next week. We've got Craig Shoemaker, the Love Master, in September. Kathleen Madden, Rocky Laporte. Lots of good people coming up. Lots
and then
of good people.
Laugh-A-Palooza, September 17th at Meadowbrook Music Festival.
That's right.
And a whole crew of guys.
Joel Fragerman and your host that night. So, great. Thanks, Joel.
Thanks,
Mark.
Thanks for coming on, John. We'll be back with more show right after this.
The Corey and Joel Radio Show is available on iTunes. Subscribe now, and while you're up there, write a review. Help promote the show.
Hey, everybody, we're back with you.
All right.
Live at the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak, Michigan. That was a lively segment, I would say, was it not?
A little heated. It didn't, you know, it wasn't like a big, giant explosion.
It wasn't a big thing. I'm shocked with the detail that John listened to the show and remembered it was with Jim McClane, because I had no memory of that.
We couldn't remember that.
I wouldn't go back through the tapes to listen to that show, probably.
Oh, God. Now that show's going to spiral up in ratings.
Yeah, go listen to the Jim McClane show. I'll have to get the number on
the
that.
The stats are going to pop for that show.
Yeah, I don't know what it is right now, because we're remote.
That's why we need a show archivist. We have some obsessed super fans.
Yeah,
we
if somebody, because, you know, we write that little description on the website every week, and I've realized that as I was going through the archives to try to find clips that we talked about, John. Our description has gotten like imminently longer.
Yes.
Like it's about three times as long as it used to be, like two sentences.
Yeah.
Now it's a whole thing. It's a whole paragraph, and we still leave stuff out.
And we're a year and a half into this puppy, so, you know.
But we do need somebody maybe who knew everything that happened on the show.
Can you imagine like doing this show for 10 years?
Yeah.
I can't really.
We would never remember anything.
Yeah.
Dude, we did that in 2012.
Imagine like Stern being
we did that in
Remember in 1987 when we did this bit? And you know, no.
That's because Stern. Now Stern has guys that go back and
Sit around and listen to everything.
Anyway, but John, came out here and he gave it to us.
I hardly remember the last show.
Well, that's when we watched T-Haw with Mike Lundy.
We had a Negro in. Is that correct? No. That was a great show. Mike Lundy was very fun.
But anyway, so
and John Heffron very graciously came on, and Joel turtled it up. And
did I turtle it up?
Oh, you turtled up.
Well,
when you listen to the tape, you're going to hear yourself.
He was ranting. He got very animated when he was talking about the success that he's had, and he resented what we said about how he was hot for 6 months.
Now
that clip I didn't have. I couldn't pull that one
because we didn't know where it was. He knows more about it. But that's the thing: when somebody says something bad about you, you obsess about it, and,
right?
It's pretty amazing that a guy who's made that much money and done what he has in comedy cares.
He's had tremendous success, and he's completely right, more than 99.9% of guys in comedy.
Sure.
And to obsess about our dumb show really just shows how effective we are at doing what we do.
You could fit all of the money I've made in comedy in 7 years inside what he makes for the first show.
Yeah, we bust balls, but we're good at it. At least we know. At least we're vindicated. We're validated.
I mean, look,
not vindicated. We're validated in the sense that we bust a lot of stones,
sure,
and it really gets under people's skins, and we're proud of that fact.
On the official scoreboard, it's John Heffron, 12 million, Corey and Joel, zero.
See, that's his ovation going in. Can people hear that?
Right.
I don't know if they can hear that on the mics, but he's taking the stage now. There's a big round of applause for him, yelling and screaming.
On the artistic scoreboard, though, we're in the game.
Right.
That's what I feel.
No, but John was great for coming on, and you know what? I like to bury old feuds.
Yeah.
And put out flames so we can start new ones.
I'm sorry, what was that?
You are the leading asshole in the state.
Don't say that about Heffron.
No, I'm saying
You like to bury the hatchet?
I like to bury the hatchet so we can start fights with new people.
I'm not burying the hatchet with the Juggalos. Anytime those...
Oh, the Juggalos hate your guts.
Anytime those GED having retards who smoke their freaking... They probably a bunch of clove smokers as Juggalos. Probably the same kind of dumb shitheads carrying around a pack of zigzags in their back because, dude, you never know when you get prepared. Down with the clown. Down with this. Gobble it. Gobble it, Juggalos.
Stop it.
My war with
listen
the
to
Juggalos.
Them. Just John. But that's the thing when you're John, did you listen to that? Anything is just the greatest.
Yeah.
Anything is the greatest
perception
you get.
You ever notice that guys have a PP and girls have a woo-woo?
Oh, now stop it. Now you're being a complete dick.
I'm not being a complete
dick. No, audiences react.
At any point in that conversation, did I mention that I loved his act?
No, and neither did I, and that's fine. No. And we don't have to love it, but you have to say, certainly looking at the people that are in there, that they're enjoying it. I mean, listen to them.
Yeah.
Listen to them.
They are giving him the old shinola.
So,
one thing that we didn't address because John was talking very quickly. It's not a personal thing.
No, not at all.
It's not John personally because I frankly had only had maybe 2-3 conversations with John in like the last 4 years. John, when I first started doing comedy, John was well established and well known in this area and regionally. And now he's a national talent.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't have to come on here and take shit.
Not at all.
He didn't take any from you because your balls
like
crawled
said,
up in your cavity.
We hung out last week. I was telling him, you know, I tried to get it. Last week we hung out. Everything was fine. I said, there's really no malice there. I don't deny what I said.
Joel,
I said, let's pull the clips and play it, and that's exactly what
Joel
we did.
Joel did a little Brazilian jiu-jitsu and went right into the right into the protection mode.
Went into the guard.
And Ridley was here to moderate.
Mark was here, and that helped.
You know, one thing we didn't get to talk to John about, and maybe we can squeeze one more segment out of him. He's into Israeli fighting technique called Krav Maga.
Sure.
Which is or Krav Maga. It's that's what the Israeli Defense Force uses to break Lebanese over the head. Yeah. That's what the
they use that and assault helicopters apparently. Yeah. But yeah.
That and a flamethrower will get you a lot of play. But
oh man,
I would not mess with the Israeli fighting system.
No,
I'm sure
that sounds like it'd be pretty tough.
The Mossad eat eyeballs for breakfast, so I would not mess with that.
They're beating up guys named Klaus, I'm sure, and Carl and
Mahmoud and Fabir.
I'm thinking more Nazis. I'm thinking maybe that came from that.
Yeah, but you know what? That beating up Nazis thing's overrated because they were all 78 by the time they got
all
of them.
Sure, yeah.
They were chasing, were chasing them in the
50s. They swept right through Argentina and just cleaned house.
They did. Don't step to the Jews.
No, not at all. No. You know what's, speaking of the Jews, you know what's great at the Comedy Castle here?
Yeah.
Is the Wall of Fame as you enter the lobby. People got to get over here and check this out. Because where we're standing just sort of opposite it. And
many comedy clubs around the world will have this. Caroline's has this.
Yeah, this is like everybody who ever played here, and you know,
the Comedy Store in L.A. and in London have this.
And the lineup here is great. I mean, it's really some old headshots and old people. Who's your favorite up there? Because I think I have a couple.
Let's see what we got. Who's available? Who's right in my
lineup? The old Dana Carvey. Now that's on the far left. It might be hard for me. It's hard for me to see it.
Yeah,
I think you can see it.
This club has been here. Mark's been in business for like.
Mark's one of the original comedy clubs in the country.
Nearly over 25 years.
Yeah,
probably.
Absolutely.
And he probably had his 25th anniversary. So there's some old ones. There's a Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Headshot from when he was doing Bruce Dern in his act. You can tell how old that is.
And Jimmy Stewart impressions. Yeah.
Doing Bruce Dern impressions.
And
so,
then you've got old. Well, I like the tandem of Robert Wool and Kevin Pollak side by side with the same shot.
And they both have their hands
pose.
On their chin. Is Baby Man Bruce Baum up on this wall?
I don't know that Baby Man Bruce Baum is a Bruce.
It's great here. You got Leno, Seinfeld, Shanling. Who's in the middle?
Bill Kirkenbauer
from Just the Ten of Us. So it's all the greats. That's a pantheon right there.
Bob Hope is up there.
Yeah,
Rosie
Joel's
O'Donnell.
Favorite. Bob Hope is up there.
Hey, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
I love Corey and Joel, boy. I got to tell you.
You know who's really big at this club is Chris Titus.
Chris Titus
he
comes in
here. He sells out like every time he comes in here.
Chris Titus comes in here like he's Eddie Murphy coming back to the comedy stage.
Chris Titus plays bigger here than anywhere in
white
the world.
White people eat up some Chris Titus comedy.
He's like Hannibal riding into Carthage on an elephant. Oh,
I love
man.
But a lot of good Gallagher's up there. Soupy, our buddy Soupy Sales, who we love.
I deleted the mouse a long ago, or I played the Soupy
Sales.
Oh,
you did the mouse and all that? So. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Listen to John killing in there. Man.
Heffron is killing.
Would you listen to that?
Yeah. Yeah.
He probably just took a sip from his water bottle and got that reaction.
I still don't think tying a towel around your neck and pretending you're Superman's funny. But, you know, whatever.
That's not the point, man.
He's got, you know what? He's got new stuff. I want to hear the new stuff.
Well, that's on his CD. Maybe. Should we plug this? We'll plug this for him.
Plug Heffron's thing.
Oh, he plugged it. He said it's called The Better Half, and it's going to be on iTunes, Napster, Rhapsody, and MusicNet. And go to johnheffron.com. Catch him on MySpace at John Heffron Comedy on MySpace, too.
Am I unfair in my critique of John Heffron? Maybe.
Yeah.
Is the material John does on television same thing he does on the weekends? Probably not.
But when he turned to me and he said, hey, you can string a bunch of one-liners together that people think are funny, but they won't get to know you. You don't think that was directed in my act that he had to watch last week?
You know, that is a good point. John, did he see any of me last week?
Well, I don't know, but I was with him like for three shows here.
John came and watched.
He was a club bar
the show
for a
we were both
week.
At.
Yeah, he was
a club
bar.
A little bit, and then he left by the time I got off stage.
Right, but I that he think you walked him.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, I was here. I introduced him all last weekend, so you know, I think you saw that. And if that's John, a dig at my act,
John proved he was cool by coming on here.
Yeah, John came on here and told us we were douchebags.
I don't think Dane Cook would be that cool if he came on this show.
Who
the two fat tubby fucks?
Can we move up now? Can we cross John off the list and move up to Dane Cook?
Oh, yeah, we're going for bigger targets. Heffron is
Dane
in our...
Cook's a cock now.
Heffron's in the rear view. Dane Cook's always been a cock. We've talked about Dane Cook on this program.
But how can we get him to listen so he'll give us some pub for our show?
You know why? You wait till show 84, the Dane Cook's Can Lick My Smelly Balls show.
Oh, that's a good title.
I
thought we used that one recently. No, I haven't used that one.
I am going to make Dane Cook my bitch for the next, 6 weeks until he listens.
I want to hear that. Well, yeah,
you know
that
what?
Would be great if
MySpace. That's how I'm going to get Dane Cook.
Aren't there 8 million people on the Dane Cook MySpace? You're going to go on there and really?
I'm going to create enough of a presence around the Dane Cook MySpace page to get to Dane Cook. That's my plan.
That he's going to have to listen to
our show.
I know
how to manipulate the internet.
But then we're going to sound like whiny bitches.
We'll sound like whiny bitches who are glomming onto his audience.
Well, I know, but see...
We'll sound like whiny bitches who get better offers.
But at least we've, so far, where we're at, we've created our own thing. We haven't needed the celebrity to get us where we are.
Mazda, GM, and Ford are putting iPod technology directly into your car.
Yeah.
They're building iPod slots and the 30 Pro.
And they're
adapter.
Doing that so all of America... can have our show whenever they want.
They can all buy Apple equipment and Steve Jobs can get Wizard. Wozniak and Jobs can get more money. What about people like me who bought an iRiver?
You bought a fine piece of equipment.
I know, and they tell us...
This very show, if you're listening to the show, of course you're listening. If you're listening, you're listening. That doesn't even make sense. This show is being recorded digitally.
Joel's still recovering. His balls went so far up his cavity when Heffron was here.
I did not. I stood my ground. I brought up, do you want to talk about our history? And then
that's true. You did.
I brought it up. You were just sitting there. You were asking.
You know what, Joel? You're asking him
what shirt he wears before the show. That's nothing.
That's true. Joel has to be the diplomat on this program sometimes, and he did. You did a fine job of that.
You have to
host a little bit and set the table, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. Well, thank you.
Let's give Heffron a plug here.
I played read everything off that.
Rhapsody Music.
JohnHeffron.com, and his CD will be out, The Better Half, very shortly. And you talked about...
If you're in Detroit, come do the Krav Maga.
Plug that. You're going to that.
248-64-FIGHT, KravMagaDetroit.com.
I wish we should have an MMA match. That would be good.
Why don't we get two styles and we'll train in them? You know, we'll
like
shoot
fight. I'll train with American Top Team, and you'll train with the Hammer House.
Joel's going to use Sistema or Sambo. Sambo, maybe.
Russian martial art.
Or
what's the Italian martial
isn't
art?
Isn't that the watermelon eating art, Sambo?
All right, stop it. You've gone too far. You're going to play Queensryche for yourself, you bastard? You deserve to.
I'm going to play a different song.
All right, that's enough of that.
Okay.
Oh
boy.
We'll pick these guys. So, those are John's friends. You can plug those guys.
Yeah, no, it's KravMaga. That's Krav Maga. Like I said, Israeli Fighting System, 248-64-FIGHT. Or KravMagaDetroit.com if you happen to
be. If you're in Detroit and you want to learn the Israeli Fighting System.
If you're in Australia, kiss my grits. 1600 West Maple Road, Troy, Michigan.
Yeah, anyway. Aussies, eat it.
So, and I guess John gets a kickback deal on this or something. He gets something. If you mention his name, something happens.
Because he doesn't have enough money.
If you refer enough people, they're giving away an iPod if you refer enough people to take this martial arts system.
Well, why don't we have a referral with Krav Maga? Why don't they sponsor our show? You're giving it away, you bastard.
Because we've never won Stars. Oh, John. John flamed out on Star Search, by the way. Really bad.
He didn't win the final. No. I think he was in the final.
But he did win Last Comic Standing.
Alonzo Bode.
And that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. So you
guys walking in, giving nods, giving shout outs.
Can we tell that story real quickly about the guy? We're just about ready. Oh. John did his segment, and we're just about ready to hit the button, record our next segment.
Yeah.
And a guy, big guy too, guy over 6 feet tall, probably 260, I'd say.
He seems a nice size.
Literally to the left, we're behind sort of where the comedians would sell their merchandise.
Looked like Jeffrey Tambor from Arrested Development.
This guy on Corey's left
completely, I'm facing the opposite
way. Yeah, so I'm looking at Corey. So over my shoulder, I see this big guy, and he literally just collapses on the ground.
Yeah.
Right in the lobby of the Comedy Castle, just boom, hits the dirt. And I start screaming, like, oh, my God, the guy just... So I run over to the guy, and the guy just passed out. He was over. He was very sweaty and hot.
He bit the dirt hard.
Yeah, it was just crazy. It was the craziest thing. And he just was there, passed out, and he got some juice, and eventually his family took him out of here. So,
well, I hope he seems to be okay.
I think he missed John's set. There was that much anticipation for John's set that he actually he actually passed out.
Yeah, sometimes sets at the Comedy Castle will kill you. So it's
well, who was on stage then? Probably Connie Ettinger, and he passed out from that.
I can't believe he would.
That's
do
unbelievable.
That.
Yeah. He missed some of that, man. And then missed John's set.
You know what, folks? In a crisis, what you need is comedians. You need trained comedians.
Yeah,
and
we ran, and we were right to his aid, and Kevin, the doorman, who's also a
funny
comedian.
We need somebody to back us up on this story, because they won't believe us.
I don't know. Who can we talk to?
Kevin's a former police officer.
He's a retired police officer. Yeah. And
so he was right on the case.
He was right on the case.
I went and got water. I got water. That was my thing.
And I helped the guy up and peeled him off the ground. I thought he might have been dead, I swear.
He hit hard.
I'm glad he just passed. If he would have had a heart attack, I would have freaked out. I don't know what I would have done.
Wow.
I'm a big pussy when it comes to stuff like that, I swear.
It's stuff like that, exactly.
I'm a big wuss.
No, it was, hey, we rescued the guy. He was
we rescued a man. We saved his life. You know, if the Corey and Joel radio show hadn't been in the lobby, who would have saved the guy?
Exactly.
Who would have saved him?
No, somebody.
No, who would have seen
nobody
him?
Nobody was
out here.
You think the wait staff at the comedy club gives a flying
They're
fuck?
Very busy. It's a busy night here. It's a sold-out show.
They dying body.
We're the only ones that saved him. So.
No, I don't know. The staff was very good.
The staff is great here. Julie,
like I said,
Kevin
Wheeler, the manager, is a former officer.
Kevin and I'm going to take the big hero role in this, but Kevin did a good job too.
Well, see, I just had my back turned.
I was
so
the first responder. First responder right here.
I had your back.
My back. No, you were good.
I went and got water.
If our fans, hopefully he's a fan. Did you see where I slipped my business card for the show in his shirt pocket while he was passed out? Did you see I slipped him that?
Yeah, you know what I do is I put a couple on the end of the defibrillator. And then when they go clear, they launch off onto his, they burn him into his chest.
What I do is I go to the cemetery, and when everyone's lined up to bury the dead, I put him in the car.
In the car window?
Yeah, under the windshield wipers. You know, that's right.
We should totally put flyers on funeral flags. People leaving the funeral.
I'm such a dick.
Oh, we are the biggest douches of douchey douche town.
We got more show here at the Comedy Castle.
What time we got here?
We're going to talk to our friend Jesse. We already talked about that. So let's get Jesse on. We'll come back in just a minute or two.
All right, then.
With more show, we'll have our friend Jesse pop on. And whatever else happens here at the Comedy Castle, maybe we'll talk to some fans after the show and all that stuff. So we'll be back in just a second. Hang on Corey and Joel Radio.
Get on the Corey and Joel Radio Show forums. Chat with fans from around the world. Both of them.
And we're back here on Corey and Joel Radio, live at the Comedy Castle.
Yes, we are.
Should we plug to say to go to comedycastle.com? That's where you can find out all the upcoming shows. Mark was on, and he told you who's coming up in that. And one of Detroit's brighter stars is a good friend of ours.
Fine, fine comedians.
Yes, fine comedians.
Like the following gentlemen.
Like this guy, Jesse Pop. Jesse, how are you?
Hey, how are you? Thank you very much. Thanks for coming.
We've talked about having Jesse on forever, and Jesse sort of...
So much
we never got it together, and then Jesse moved on us, and...
Jesse moved to, like, Cracktown, Brooklyn.
Yes.
Tell people where you live.
I live in Brooklyn. I live in Bushwick. It's off of Avenue of Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of... It's mostly Puerto Rican.
Puerto Riqueño.
And how do they...
Neo-Rican soul.
And how do they react to you? I mean, are you...
My landlord doesn't speak English. But his son and his daughter do, and they're not very friendly, so that's good. And they have parades a lot, so...
They do have the Puerto Rican Day Parade. I lived in New York City. I had to deal with that. It's
there's
horrible.
More than that. There's one, like, every week.
Really?
Like, I walk out with my laundry, and then there's, like, 12 people with flags and whistles, and they just barrel past me, and I...
So you actually live in Nueva York.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't even live in New York City.
Well, but you moved out there to do the big comic moves out there to try to hit it big.
Yes, big break.
And how's it going for you?
It's coming. No, it's New York is insane, but and it's expensive. But I think
is that not the neighborhood Bushwick Bill, the infamous rapper, is from?
Maybe.
Is that where he got his name?
I met Bushwick Bill,
the midget rapper
at the gathering of the Juggalos. Yes, I met him, but I don't want to go into Juggalo stuff because Corey will get upset. So I'm not going to bring up ICP.
You released them.
I don't want to do that, so we're not going to bring up Bushwick Bill. But Jesse's actually had his fair share of success. fair both amount. Locally and nationally. Let me ask,
who did you start? How did you start blowing people? And who was the first?
Oh,
one
he didn't have success doing that. He had success because he's funny, stupid.
No, I blew like 800. I'm actually.
People. Oh, did you actually blow some people?
Oh,
shit.
Yeah, yeah. Millions.
Bernie
no,
Brillstein.
Nah, I just sent some tapes out and got lucky. And
yeah, you were on the Premium Blend on Comedy Central. Yeah, that was your, like your first big thing. And that was a big deal because a lot of local people couldn't get on that.
Yeah, and I I think some
you're
people...
You're a handsome young gentleman. I can say
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you.
He's a good-looking guy.
Man, I'll suck your dick real good, brother.
Stop that.
Oh, sorry. No, Jesse... I bust Jesse Stones because actually you're one comic I really do enjoy your work.
Jesse's a very original, clever writer, very funny
just saw
dude,
him last night.
And
very funny.
Yeah, Jesse was at the Club Bard Experience, my live show.
Yeah, thanks for squeezing me on.
Yeah, we put him squeezing him.
We'd
on.
Like well, sometime,
anytime. I'll squeeze you anytime.
Sometime we'd like to get an actual live performance out of you. But,
yeah, we do. Do you have anything we can play on the show? Maybe we'll play it as an intro for your segment.
I recorded a CD last summer. But
where's that at?
Hey, that's a good question. it's turning into Chinese democracy. yeah. My friend who recorded it, Jim Roll, good guy, and he just, but I haven't heard back from him all that much. So.
Okay. Well, that's.
You know how that goes. You do
when you make it big, that CD will be in every goddamn Walmart across the country.
Yeah,
though.
So hopefully, with any. I mean, it's not. Hopefully, we'll get him to mix it, and it'll. Okay,
well, we know what it's like to do a project and no one.
Look,
responds.
We record this every week. Let's look at this fucking goddamn setup we got going on here. This is bullshit.
John's headphones held together with
my
duct tape.
My headphones are held together with duct tape. You can see our microphone here is our. Is our little professional, sort of professional look. It's kind of our...
You got the little cardboard triangle.
Little cardboard triangle, although it's actually just three of our business cards taped together. But that's okay. It looks good. It looks
we're
better
than... We're RC Pro-Am is what we are. We're not quite ready for the big leagues.
We have a banner that was made for us for free.
But we get big league talent.
But we got John Efron
We've
and
got,
Jesse Pop,
We've got two
baby.
Comedy Central stars.
Yeah, you were on Comedy Central. But then the biggest thing you did, this is where you were seen... Without question, by more people, no matter what you do in comedy, you almost will never be seen by an audience this big. Jesse was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yes.
With Regis, the summer, it was the biggest fucking thing in the history of TV, right?
Yeah, no.
That's
when
it was.
That's when it was still huge.
Yeah, before they put it on six nights a week or whatever they
did.
Yeah,
that's when
was like the number one show in the country.
Yes,
I mean, it was like one of the biggest shows ever when it was on.
Yeah, millions of people saw me win $1,000.
Now, how did that... That was what it sounded like. Now, how did that happen? Because, I mean,
you're a smart man.
You're a real smart guy. Now, you went to the audition. I remember your story about that. Yeah. Tell everybody how that went down.
Well, I was I read in the paper that they were coming for an audition, so I called some number, went to the Southfield Weston after work, took the test. They answered me a bunch of questions. And
they answered you.
Did I say that?
What was this? You ran 21?
I'm so smart. See, I just said they answered me a bunch of questions.
Jack Berry feeding you answers through the headphones?
I thought that was New York hipster beatnik talk. That's what I thought that was.
Ah, you just fill out these questionnaires like, what was your favorite, what was your craziest road trip and stuff like that? What's your favorite
food? They want to get your personality as well as if you're
smart. Yeah.
But the questions were they were knowledge questions, though, too, were they?
Yeah, you had to pass the quiz, and then they weeded out half the crowd, and then they interview you. You got to, like, ham it up and shit. And, Am I
you can say shit,
okay.
Yes. You can say shit, fuck.
So
you
can
say cock. You want to say cock on the air? If you want to say cock, go ahead.
Cock.
Thank you.
You can say pussy if you
cock
want.
Cock sucking shit.
Liberating, having no regulations.
If you want to say pussy on the show, go ahead.
Pussy.
If you like Snatch needs to come out, you go ahead. But go ahead. Your story is you're filling out the test.
And then anyway, so the whole thing, and I didn't think, I was just going there kind of as a lark, but like 2 weeks later they called me to be on the show.
Ah, but wasn't the deal, too, I remember you telling me the story, that you were the only guy under, like, 55 years old?
Yeah, it was mostly, and this is also, everybody's really hammy, and this is, like, summer 2001, and people are still making, like, pregnant Chad jokes and doing, like, wild and crazy guy and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
they're still doing that now.
Yeah, unfortunately. So I was just kind of sitting there and not really doing that stuff, and then I didn't think that they liked me, but then they called me up.
But they told you were a comedian too, and they probably thought like, oh, this will be great.
In fact, when I went on the show, when I'm in the hot seat, they're trying to get me beforehand to do like stand up bits and stuff, and I just didn't
want
to.
That's what you want just before
there's
sweat running down the crack of your ass trying to win $1 million.
I'm about to shit my pants and I'm going to do a tight five or something.
Yeah.
So was that like your lead in segment? Did you do jokes? I don't remember you doing.
No, they wanted, but then they said they were asking me, have I done shows in town? I go, oh, yeah, I did this show at this like restaurant in like the in like the Empire State Building. Then they come out. He did stand up at the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know,
just lie.
Like you're
brutally
on the top of
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I'm up there with King Kong and
by the antenna up there with a microphone doing a in a sport coat. But now, what did you think of the actual experience of taping the show? What's that like to actually tape a millionaire show?
It's so strange because, I mean, you're in the fastest finger, then all of a sudden you're in the hot seat and, like, you're, like...
Do you remember what the fastest finger thing was?
No. Although they did say this is going to be the last one, and then everybody got it wrong twice.
Oh, really?
So they said, so finally the third one, I just decided, because the machine is really clumsy and all
that. If you guys don't remember what the fastest finger, that's where you rank stuff in an order.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be like rank these rivers east to west.
Yeah, or some stuff that happened chronologically a lot of times. Is that.
So I get on, and then immediately just people putting the mics on, and Regis Philbin is there, and the cameras are sweeping around and talking about the music. So I just kind of just checked out my brain. I couldn't answer anything.
That's got to be like an intense thing.
Yeah, I mean even like there's one question was like, what's the center of an apple called? And I'm still like racking. I think it's core. What if I just think it's core? What if I'm going to be the guy who goes out on $200? And so I burned some lifelines on some shit I did know, but
do you remember what did you burn the lifeline?
I don't know what happened. I mean, you probably, I don't know, you had to train a little bit harder. I don't know what's wrong.
That's Oksana Baiul, Olympic champion, telling you how you fucked up. But do you remember what question you used your lifelines on?
The main one is, to this day that bugs me, is I used a lifeline on what state was the Jamestown colony in.
Yeah, that's bad.
Which is like, I was, you know. You absolutely, Virginia.
James Brown's from Georgia.
Yeah, and then
not James Brown.
Yeah,
Jamestown.
And then I asked the audience. Of course, it was like 95%.
And see,
Virginia.
I think that's the best lifeline too, isn't it? Ask the audience. Isn't that the most accurate one?
Yeah. And then, I got some Cher question, which I didn't know.
Yeah, you got who made Cher's outfit?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the question?
Yeah, Bob Mackie. And of course, since then, 300 times I see on TV where they say Bob Mackie and Cher.
And that was what, the $32,000 question?
No, that was like the $8,000.
That's you lost on that.
No,
that's
I lost
faggot
on
stuff.
No, it is.
You want to call it by its name? That's strictly for fags.
But you lost out on that, and that knocked you down to a grand. So you had won. How much did you win?
No, the question I got out on was a $32,000. Was what was Joan Cusack's profession on What About Joan?
Oh yeah, that's so stupid.
You know what? Yeah. That is.
Because that was a show that no one watched then.
Yeah. By the time my show aired, her show had already been canceled.
Is she a social worker?
She was a teacher.
Okay.
I think I said psychiatrist.
Ah.
I just thought, I had no idea, but I thought, hell, what am I going to
do? I remember watching that. I remember we were like, oh, Jesse's going to be, we know this guy.
Yeah.
Hey, he's on.
Well, not to break an NDA or anything, but Jesse had told me what happened before it aired, so I knew to watch
it. It was a surprise for me.
Flim. It was a big deal, though, when you were on. I remember that. I remember I was doing a comedy show. I think it was on a Sunday night. It was doing a Sunday night show. And I remember we were all at the bar watching you that night.
Yeah, well,
it was very
there.
Cool. It was like, wow, Jesse's on TV. Look at that.
And then afterwards, some random guy would be like, saw a millionaire. Looked like a real asshole up there. yep, thank you.
Really?
I paid for my week off work and bought a DVD player.
Did you really?
Yeah,
well,
that's what I did.
You got to do what you got to do, man.
But it was good. I got a free week in New York.
Oh, they must put you up well. I mean, it's a network show, big money.
Yeah, I mean, well, I got on the tail end of one show. And then the next, they weren't taping the next one for 5 more days.
Oh, okay.
So they put me up $50 a day. I was there with my dad. Just did some shows with the Yankees game.
Oh,
had some drinks.
Right. All right,
it was good.
You lost on $1,000 question. So.
He didn't lose on the $1,000. He fell from the 32 down to the 1,000.
It's okay. Jesse, I think you're a great comedian, but...
You are the leading asshole in the state.
Just kidding. You're overplaying.
No, I mean,
bit.
I was positive that I was going to win, and when I didn't, I was pretty sure that I had like ruined
my
whole
Corey's
life.
Like that. Corey, I don't think would even go on because he's so confident that he'd win the million.
Well, what happened?
He just liked to be able to tell people for the rest of his life that he would have won the million.
I'm gonna guarantee you this.
What's that?
There's a show called The World Series of Pop Culture.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
I was not aware of the auditions.
Wait a minute,
last spring.
Okay, was it auditions last week?
It was like winter time. Like February, they were doing it.
Did they come to Detroit for auditions?
I had a lot of pussy business going on back then, and I had a lot of action going on, and it was hard. So they had Chicago, so I could have gone out there.
Sure.
I guarantee for the second season, if they bring that back, I am going to go out for that.
Yeah.
Do it.
I've talked for years about going on Jeopardy.
And isn't that a three-man team?
Yeah, I have two. I need a third.
I thought you have me.
Like I said, I have two.
Oh, what do you mean? I wouldn't be in the world. I'm thinking me, you, and Jesse. That
you
was
need
I was
third?
Thinking.
Well, you need...
here's the thing, Joel. I'm looking for somebody who has a different set of skills than I do. And
really?
I think
like,
you
who
and I kind
you're
of going
to get better than me?
How many Beatles questions are they going to ask?
Well, I don't know, but I will get those all right.
There's certain magic. There's
Woody
certain
Allen things, magic,
I know,
the history of magic.
Very
I would
specialized.
Get right.
I need some...
No, but I would know pop culture. What don't I know? Come
I
on.
I don't know. I'm just afraid they're going to ask some question about, you know, Judy Blum, and we're all going to stand there and go...
You think you need a girl? Is that what
yeah,
you need?
Yeah, I need to round it out with something.
Well, I'm there. Maybe I'll do a competing team.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to have some... Maybe if I... I'm gonna
what if
we'll
we,
do that yeah. on the show.
Okay.
We're going to do that a bit. That's a bit on the show.
Yes.
And I think I got a shot.
I'd say the Pop Man would do well on that show.
I think
well.
Pop would, too. Pop's into cool stuff.
Yeah, as long as there's not questions about Joan Cusack or Cher, I fare pretty well. That's the thing I thought. The two things I had covered were, like, TV and whatever, and they kept finding...
Do you think they see...
Yes, that's a very gay question.
But do you think when they see you, they kind of look at this guy and go... All right, we're not going to ask that Nirvana trivia question. We're going to just set that aside.
Right.
Where's the chair shit?
Nirvana?
Know?
What am I, in a flannel? And
no, but I mean, you're young happening. You know what I'm saying? You think that they look at that and go, like, no Star Wars trivia for this guy.
Yeah, like, I think he knows physics.
I mean, do they really do that, or are the questions picked out ahead of time?
I don't know. I felt like maybe because I was so boring. I was so nervous. Like, so many people, like, they prattle on and they tell stories about themselves, and I didn't say anything beyond the answer and then final answer, and because I was just crapping in my pants.
Yeah, you didn't sit there. Well, Regis, my uncle Bubba Ray, he used to pull the fins off crappy.
Did you phone a friend?
Yes.
Who'd you phone?
Paul Fisher, my good friend and former roommate.
Ah.
And well, it's funny.
What was the question? What was the topic?
Some book, Confessions of a Confederate Bride Tells All. Some other such. I hadn't read.
And you figured he knew it because he's a learned book.
Well, I had you have the option of five different numbers. Yeah. I think so. I had friends stationed in different places, so I just made a random call. I decided that one. So this friend knows this or that, and then this number.
And now that show has been driven into the dirt.
Isn't Meredith Vieira doing the daytime version of that?
Maybe not after she does the Today Show.
I don't know. Does anyone win a million anymore on that? Because how many guys won a million? Do you know?
I have no idea.
A couple guys did. Like
four or five.
Three or four guys, yeah. And
Jesse's got how much time you got here?
I got about 10
He's got some time. We'll talk some more to Jesse. What the hell?
So how is the, other than living underneath Puerto Ricans who bang on cans all night and... And they like to stab the Jets. What else goes on?
In New York, let's see. Everything is very expensive, and there's a lot of drinking just to deal with the hemorrhaging of money. And
Now, where do you go to play? Where do you go to perform in New York? What clubs do you go to?
Vince and I, Vince Averill, we started a show at this bar called the Beauty Bar. We used to do it at this bar called the Sidewalk Cafe.
Well, I've heard of the Beauty Bar.
It's fun.
There's an L.A. Beauty Bar.
I think one in Vegas.
I think the L.A. one was first, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like a hipster bar, but they got the old-fashioned like hair dryer chairs, and they got a lady that comes in and does nails and junk.
That's one time L.A. beat New York to the punch. New York has a lot of theme bars. Like, there's a place called Barmacy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's still around, but...
Well, I remember when I was out there was Mad Cow, which had cows all over the place. And,
It was an old pharmacy that they turned into a bar, Barmacy. And
I heard that there's a Detroit-themed bar, but I haven't been there. I'd like to check. I'm sure it's nothing like...
There's one in L.A.
When I was in New York, the original Hogs and Heifers was big then.
Yeah.
That was the thing that spawned Coyote Ugly and chicks dancing on the bar.
Throwing
their bra. That was... I think that was on Avenue A or something. I think that was.
And then there's Max Fish in the Village, which is always popular. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Kettle of Fish. Is that what you know?
Max Fish.
Was there Max Fish? Yeah. Kettle of Fish was an old... Anyway, we could do this all day.
Hey, let's talk about New York bars.
That nobody knows. But Jesse...
There was a bar that used to be in the subway station.
Really?
Yeah.
What subway and where?
Oh, God, I can't remember. I think it was on the...
There's a bar called NRQ. The Subway Bar where you can get... some crappy whiskey and some cheap... Well, like, there are bars there. They have the combo. It's like a PBR and like a shot of, like, whiskey for $5. And they have this thing called Early Times, and it's like the Mad Magazine Jack Daniels because it looks exactly like, and it tastes like...
Now, I know you're a big baller and you like to club. You're out there night with Diddy and Jay-Z.
Oh, yeah, he's out there.
There's a crazy thing in New York now, bottle rights.
Bottle rights?
Yeah, they're charging you, like, $300 and they just bring you bottles.
Oh, I don't...
You just bring whatever you want to drink?
Yeah, no, they just bring you the whole bottle.
Oh, you get the whole bottle of booze.
Yeah.
Is that because you get, like, all the...
Oh, is that one of those things where you got to pay just to get the seat?
You have to pay just to get in the VIP, and then, then you get a whole bottle.
Well, I don't think Jesse will be doing that.
No,
I'm not into that.
Let's go out there with John Heffron. Then...
Yeah, you know what? Heffron throw some...
Heffron got us in the club last week. We went over to Boogie Fever in Ferndale, and he knows that guy, and... And he got us right in the door. He said, we're the comedians from the Comedy Castle. He brought us right in. And Stephanie, my roommate, and everybody.
Israeli martial arts form.
I don't know. No, but we went in there and hung out. We were VIPs, baby.
Yeah.
It's the way you got to roll, man. You got to roll like that.
So this is clearly, I'm riffing like crazy. This is your best segment of all time.
No. Go ahead, riff machine. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I got nothing.
Just do a couple bits. Go ahead. Do some jokes.
No, do some jokes.
That's so awkward to ask a guy to just do his jokes in this setting.
Jesse
does a whole set out here, and it's fantastic and great.
You're prepared. I don't want to throw your rhythm off.
Ready for the next set.
How'd it go in there? How was it?
It went well. Sometimes when you're hosting and they're really riled up for the headliner, they don't want anything
to do
with
you. They don't care at all about the opener.
No,
it was
pretty fun. I just try to get out of there and hope that there aren't 10 tables of birthdays. And
Yeah, anybody getting married? Any bachelorette parties?
No.
We dealt with that, Louis.
I just decided to stop asking and then just plow through.
That is the scourge of the comedy club, is the goddamn bachelorette party.
And Mr. Heffron lets you in his green room? Does that go?
What's that?
You're allowed in Mr. Heffron's green room?
Okay. I am. Yeah. If only but for a moment.
Oh, well, that's
a
good.
Fleeting moment. Fleeting moment for nevermore.
Before we say goodbye to Jesse, we're letting him get back. Do you got anything you want to plug? Where can people get a hold of you? Websites, MySpace, anything?
My website is down.
Uh-oh.
Good times.
Emergency.
I have MySpace.
He's living in Bushwick, for God's sake.
Did you on MySpace, Jesse Pop on MySpace?
It's actually / JW Pop.
JW Pop on MySpace.
Yeah. And
you got to take a machete with you just to get to the L train, don't you?
Oh, yeah. No.
Now, the website's down. Does it mean like you don't have the URL? Because they'll make it a porn site.
No, I own the site, and it's hosted. it's just a search page. I don't know how to design a web page, so it just says Jesse Pop.
Okay.
Joel could do a little web design.
We do Corey and Joel Radio, if you've seen our fine website.
Yes.
Which hasn't changed in months.
I did it originally in about an afternoon, and it's been up there for 18 months, but it works.
Yeah.
We have a forum. We have a lot of interactive features
Absolutely.
On our website.
It might be time for an update.
We have a streaming player that works sometimes.
Is it time for a new look?
Anyway, you guys go catch Jesse Pop on MySpace, Pop. Any New York City fans, hit him up at the Beauty Bar. What night of the week is that?
Sunday nights at 9 o'clock starting August 13th.
All right. So go to the Beauty Bar.
Oh, you big player, you.
He's got the plug ready, though. That's a pro. You know he's been around the business.
Cheap drinks, good times.
Absolutely.
Hot chicks? You got any hot chicks at the show? You got any hot broads coming out?
There do seem to be girls all over the place.
There are lots of good looking girls in New York. Yeah. And, God damn it, I miss that. I'll be honest. Jesse must be tearing through that, don't you think? Look at this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think this guy really is tearing through some
Manhattan You're a sex Manhattan machine. You're a big, fleshy log of lust.
Oh.
Look at you, you big hunk of beef.
Absolutely.
I'm envious. I'm very envious.
I am, too. But
Jesse has hair. He's thin. It's a, he's got a
he's
lot
always
of stuff
got
going.
That 5 o'clock shadow. That, yeah. That's the look that we're trying to get.
I shaved yesterday, so I wouldn't have to shave the rest of the weekend.
Look at that.
He's in New
Deliberate.
York.
Deliberate.
He's in New York City. It's a neighborhood that the Warriors wouldn't travel to after dark. But he's in New York, and
he's
I'm
in
very
New York.
Envious. He's a very funny guy.
Well, Jesse, thanks for coming.
Right, thanks for having me, guys. Thanks for having me.
Jesse,
right
we
here.
Love you.
Thanks, love you, too.
When you're in town, you come on the studio. We'll do a whole show there. And
all right, cool.
We'll come out to New York City. We'll be at the Beauty Bar.
We'll try and get some drunk girls in there for you.
All right.
Yeah, we'll do that for you. Jesse Pop, everybody. Jesse Pop.
See you guys later.
See you, Jess. The brothers going to work it out.
Contact Corey and Joel at email at coreyandjoelradio.com. If you have something funny to say, they'll read it on the show.
And all right, we're back here at the Comedy Castle. We're going to wrap up this fine evening that we had for you tonight here in Royal Oak, Michigan. We
had it's a barn burner.
John Heffron, a big star, came on and told us we were douchebags,
Jesse
essentially.
Jesse Pop, a moderate star.
He was on Millionaire and bombed out, but that was a good story.
Jesse it was a good story.
Good stories. And I've got Connie Ettinger, the feature act tonight.
That's
Connie,
right. One
hi.
More special guest, Connie
who is one of three, four female comics in Michigan that actually works. Maybe five, six.
Yeah.
Six.
One
you're
of
being,
the
you're
handful
being
of prominent Midwestern.
It's you, Chrissy Burns,
comics.
Laura Lou, and after that, it's all garbage. Let's be honest.
Well, thank
just
you.
Just go ahead. I'll say it if you won't.
I'm in
she's
an auspicious
that.
Group.
Connie's winking at me and elbowing me, telling me to rag on all the other female
shut
comics.
Up.
I'm
shut
making
up. Shut up.
obscene finger gestures. And
yeah, Laura Lou was on our show. Laura was a big hit on our show. I don't know
if you heard her. She was.
Yeah. A lot of she
Laura took some big hits on our show.
Fifth of Jägermeister in 10 minutes, 12 minutes.
You knew
how long did
it take? Yeah, no, literally her third shot was down before like we were like, oh, it was like, hey, everybody, welcome to the Corey Joel Radio Show. Boom.
Yeah, take your penis out. That's what we heard for about an hour from Laura Lou.
Oh, man.
Please don't take your penis out.
Yeah, it's
no, we're behind this counter. No one would see, Connie.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not wearing pants. It's,
no, he's not. And I have to say, you're a goddamn good-looking
man. Thank you. It's like the guys on the nightly news. You know, the sports guy will come in with a blazer and like shorts on. You know.
Yeah, that's the story. I told you, the guy Don Shane used to work at Channel 7. My buddy was an intern. Bermuda shorts and flip-flops every night behind the desk.
Yeah.
Watch the game, throw his sport coat on.
Absolutely.
And he'd be right out there.
How was the show tonight, Connie?
It was a great show,
The show tonight was great. The audience was very hot. And John Heffron, I haven't seen him in years, except when he used to pop in here briefly when I was open miking, and he'd do guest sets. He was still working at the radio station, and he is just – he's kicking ass big time.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, and it's
he
always –
he kicked our ass a little bit. But
well, he yelled at – I think we fired him up for the show. He came on before he hit the stage. And he was all fired up.
Yeah, I was like, John, you're a douche. Now go do a good show.
No, we didn't call him a douche. We were very nice to
we
John.
We must compliment him on his choice of footgear, because yesterday he was wearing brown shoes.
We gave him shit about it.
A little bit of a controversy.
Okay, he was very upset about that. I think it set him back years in therapy.
Wow.
So please don't tease him about his shoes.
All right. But it's always good when you, as a comic, like an opener, like what you and I do, and of course, when you're in front of like a real big act, because you always get like really pumped up crowds.
You do. You get
pumped up, paid money to get in. They're not here on a free pass.
Right. Or you get people who are going, what the hell is this old broad doing here? We came here to see John Heffron. Get the vagina off the stage now.
But you didn't deal with that tonight, right?
No, they were very nice people. Very, very generous, giving people. I actually got laughs I did not deserve, which is fabulous. It's a big plus.
Isn't it great, though, when you have a full, like, room.
It's great
like
when they'll laugh
is
at
really
anything.
Fun.
It, absolutely.
I they're like dying to be entertained.
Yes, they are. They are just like, oh, please, we need something.
Yeah, yeah, it's great when you come on and, like, some of these guys, and now we're talking about John, like, you know, these guys, you know, they walk out on stage, they get a reaction.
Oh, absolutely.
They take the mic out of the mic stand, and it's woos and hoots and hollers. And
oh,
like,
God, he put his water bottle down. That is so cool.
And this is the mind-blowing experience in my mind.
That's what they say when they go.
No, it's. I mean, it's really. It is. There's nothing like it.
Oh no, it's big time idol worship. And watching the people leave last night's show, I have never seen so many cell phones taking pictures. Pictures. I mean, he's a very good comedian. I was just overwhelmed at the number of people who wanted to memorialize this.
And we've got no pictures taken, by the way.
We've taken no pictures with Jesse. I'll have to get those after you leave.
So our producer.
We have somebody take a picture of us. Connie can take a picture.
Our producer
of us
crapped out. But
yeah, we have a producer that's supposed to come here, but he's not here.
I think I'm qualified to
You're
push
qualified,
a button.
Well,
on a
that's
candle.
Good.
I think you are. You're more than qualified.
But Connie's got, what else you got going on? You're over at that Wise Guys, the other comedy club across
Wise Guys next week, where am I? Oh, golly. Next week I'm at Wise Guys, and then I'm off to Colorado for a well-deserved vacation from my entire month off of July. Comedy sucks in the summer.
Yeah, comedy sucks in the Midwest in the summer. People don't realize how fucking bad it is. It's awful.
It's terrible.
But, nights like tonight, we try to explain to people who don't get it. This almost makes up for, like, Des Moines in February with Steve Sabo.
Almost. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You are
right.
Lying. You
I did
are
throw,
so lying.
I did throw Sabo in there.
I'm saying maybe it would make up for Mansfield with Funny Business.
Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Mansfield.
Yeah, Mansfield. That's a great gig.
If you want to learn all about the intimacy, the intricate nature of Ohio, just do stand-up comedy.
Get in the stand-up
You
want to
learn
comedy.
About Indiana and Ohio and
You'll
the inner workings
the
of the interstate.
Roads.
Well, Mansfield was wonderful when I worked it because I got totally lost. There were no road signs. It was 3 hours of non-freeway driving.
Yeah, you drive. You get off like 23 and you have to go east. That's
right.
The one, yeah.
And you're just going and going and going. And I'm calling the club and saying, I think I'm lost. All I see are cows. And they said, no, you're in the right spot. Just you see cows, you're fine.
Make a left.
What's the craziest venue you've ever played?
Craziest venue I've ever played was... The Wednesday before Thanksgiving, it was a bar gig that Mike Malik put together, and it was probably the dumbest comedy idea any of us ever had. We did not abandon the stage. I think about 8 of us went up. We did our time. No one listened to us. Not a single one of us got a single laugh.
The night before Thanksgiving is a tough comedy night.
Yeah,
a lot of drunks out that night.
Yeah, and nobody wants to listen to comedy. They want to catch up with their friends. But I got my first, you suck, that very night.
Really?
It was a fabulous moment for me.
Well, we get that in our email all the time.
Oh yeah.
No, we don't actually get that. We actually get a lot of good. We get good feedback on this show.
The people who bother to write love us.
Yeah, I know. That's the way it is with the show.
We have a small, deeply disturbed following, and I think that's something
pretty
to be
much,
proud of.
You know, and they're all over. That's what's great. Is people in Australia are listening to us in Royal Oak, Michigan, shoot the shit in a bar full of people who. Did you see the guy rubbernecking? Guys are rubbernecking. Are you watching the line over here? They're lining up for John's next show, and they look around the corner.
And they're wondering why Corey has no pants on.
Exactly.
The first thing they think is, oh, look, Drew and Mike are here.
Yeah.
And then they realize
who the hell
it's
is
Corey
that?
And Joel.
It's a couple of tubby dudes.
Never
what
heard
the hell
of.
Is this?
I mean, want to go talk to those guys? I can take the mic over there. You no. want to go talk to them, or should we wrap it up?
They
Maybe
come
I'll
to
do
us.
That for the
They
bonus.
Come to us.
No, they think I'm Catherine Pryor. There's been a crime.
Yeah.
We talked about the guy that passed out here. Did you miss that earlier?
Yes, I missed that.
Yeah, I resuscitated the guy. I mean, I picked him. I resuscitate him, but
was
I
it
picked
good for him,
up.
Too?
I hope so. I don't know. He was all sweaty. He was very hot, but I hope he's okay, that guy. But
that generally happens after the second show.
Right.
Yeah, this guy, I think he even saw. But you know what? I was saying it
what
was your show.
I'm
it
sorry?
Got him so hot and bothered. It was during your set.
Probably. It's
that
probably
he walked
the,
out and hit the ground.
It's
he was
probably
like,
the slit in my skirt.
I can't take much more of that, Connie. It's
and the
driving
orthopedic
me nuts.
Sandals. You
got
know,
like a guitar chili pepper theme going
it is,
on.
It
here.
Is a,
it is a rock and roll long skirt.
This
there.
Is a skirt from New Orleans Jazz Fest this
I
past year.
It looks like a Hard Rock Cafe mural or something. It's kind of crazy.
Now this is my
got, like all the chili peppers.
My
on
little
it.
Effort to support the victims of Hurricane Katrina by sending way too much money for cheap clothing.
So you get a hard won vacation. Take that time and enjoy it and savor it.
Yeah, you're I'm going off to Colorado. And
I'm
going to
ride horses and not think about this crazy business.
Oh,
and what a business it is!
It sure is.
And what a, look at these people lining up. They're
they
going
are.
Nuts.
They are just they're looking
up.
At you. You're right. They are so rubbernecking you it's and wondering.
They
rub
and they're just
that?
Going. What is this?
What
we
is
have
this?
Business cards. Come get them. Listen to the show.
Anybody have crime scene tape?
CorianJoelRadio.com.
We need to do a chalk body outline right in front
okay.
of this.
It's okay. People just don't know what's going on. But I think it adds to the event, though, to have somebody here broadcasting.
Big time entertainment right,
right
over here.
Here.
Yeah. Right
big
here.
Time.
Step up. Catch
big
your
in big Australia,
time
this show right here.
Perth number one.
All right, so you ready to say goodnight? Should we say goodnight
to
everybody? We want to thank everybody that did the show tonight.
It was wonderful. It was great. It was amazing.
Thank you, Oksana. No, it was a great show. Connie, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Bush.
Catch
for
Connie.
Having me.
Are you on MySpace or anything? Can people go look at
I
you?
I am
right
not
now?
On MySpace.
You have
I,
no
am,
web
I do have a web presence. It's ConnieTheComedian.com.
All right.
Go to ConnieTheComedian.com. Look up
one
Connie.
Of, one of the number one female acts in the Midwest because,
well,
frankly,
you.
It's hard to stick around in this town. And you're
it's
doing
hard
a great
to stick
job.
Around. And usually it's because you've banged Steve Sable. And
you
have
not.
I have
there.
Not.
Exactly.
Have
so
not.
That just really speaks to your talent right there. That
makes the climb
Sable.
Even steeper.
It right. does. But more germ-free.
Exactly. Yeah. So Connie, want to thank Connie for coming
Connie
on.
Will be coming to some town near you probably soon.
Go see yes. her. She's
check
very
a rest area near you. I will probably
absolutely.
Be there.
And we got to thank Jesse Pop.
Absolutely.
JW Pop on MySpace for Jesse. We'll catch Jesse up
wanna
there.
Want to thank Jesse's neighbors in Bushwick for not shooting him.
Yeah, to get Jesse here safely. He was in a very bad neighborhood. I don't know if he told you that.
Yes, in Brooklyn.
And we want to thank, of course, John Heffron, johnheffron.com, and get his new CD. Let's name it The Better Half, and that'll be on iTunes in a couple of weeks, and Rhapsody and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Of course, we got to thank Mark Ridley from the Comedy Castle.
The big man himself.
Yay,
Mark came
Mark.
On,
woo!
And Mark was here for a minute, and then John came on, and we elbowed Mark right off the set. But no, Mark was great. Mark actually kept the peace between us. He was like... He was like George yeah. Mitchell or Jimmy Carter. He
I want to thank Mark for having us here and not putting a dollar into infrastructure in this building. In 15 years.
It's a comedy club. It's very sparse. That's the character.
You're what Grammy Hall would call a real Jew.
Oh, now stop.
Oh.
I'm not going to play that about Mark.
Oh, no.
I refuse
Mark is,
to
Mark
hear
is
that.
Like a big uncle to everybody
yeah,
in this town.
Yeah, Mark supports us and puts us on stage, gives us gigs.
Yeah,
what was that?
Like the bailout ass kiss there. It was like
and,
swan dive, kiss.
But anyway, thanks for everybody for listening to this. And,
absolutely. Thank the blender for going off
yeah,
for the whole
the,
goddamn show.
Listen to the kid move the bottles around. Can we get that on, Mike? That's great.
And maybe they'll drop a tray of drinks. That'd be fun.
I'd like to thank Mark's recent ex-wife for not taking the business.
Okay. You know what? We're going to end on that note, Corey. I think this was a successful show. I'm glad.
We did a great show. Connie, thank you so much for being here.
For having me on.
No problem, Connie. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll catch you next time. On the mailing list, who knows? I might talk to some drunks after the show. Corey's got to get out of here. But you never know what's
going on. Keep watching the skies. Keep your feet on the ground. Keep reaching for the stars.
And
midnight, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea. Thank you.
All right, everybody.
We've done everything we can.
We're out of here. Later.
The supposed golden path. I was confronted by mysterious specters. He pointed to the graveyard.